Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Because it might be today.
You're worthy, Lord.
Time is right now. No need to.
All right, Brian, good morning. Good morning on this Friday morning. We are on day number 9. I think it's number 9, isn't it? Let me look at the calendar. I may be off a day. Hold on here. Yes, day number 9. Hello, hello, everybody. Good morning, good morning. The warfare is real, isn't it? You will notice that in your 40-day journey that your warfare will begin to increase as the days get into it if you stay with the program, if you stay on track. And, you know, not saying that you're going to get off a little bit and eat. And like yesterday, I ate some eggs and some soup. You know, sometimes you just have to eat. But it's your heart. It's the heart of it. You know, you just get back on and do the best you can. Now, this morning, I want to encourage you guys in the scripture. I found some notes that my journal, back when I first started in 2013, I found my journal. And I'm going to read you some encouraging things that I wrote down. Because remember back then, my first 3 years, God told me shut off everything. No radio, no TV, don't listen to anyone but me and who I put you in the path with. So he was my teacher and for 3 years, and this is part of this fruit. So the date that I put on here was July 3rd of 2013. It was on a Saturday. Psalm 80, 4 through 7. How long will your anger smolder, Lord? My enemies mock me. Restore me and save me, O God. Restore us, Lord, God Almighty. Make your face shine on me, that I may be saved. Now, at that time of July 3rd of 2013 was just a few months after I surrendered all, and I was in a great pit, great, great pit. You know, the year before, when I was in grad school, I was working for a lawyer, making big bucks. I was working at the school in the college in the corporate communications office the whole year and a half that I was in graduate school. And so I worked there part-time. Well, then I was also president of 3 organizations. Very busy woman and going to school full time. People say, I don't know how you do it all. That's how, you know. But anyway, so after I graduated and God shut all the doors and said, get on your face and follow me and, you know, give up everything for me. That was a big one because I really fought my call. I wanted to just have a job. I wanted to be normal. You know, I had graduated top of my class, not the top, but, you know, and had been to London and everything. I wanted to take over the world, man. I was, you know, eager and everything. And I tried 500 times. I mean, that's how, you know, insistent I was that I wanted this. But, you know, I told you the story. God stopped me and said, stop running and follow me, you know. There's no turning back. And so I made up my mind and said, yes, Lord. So because of that, he began stripping me and, you know, taking everything from me. So there went at this time of July 3rd of 2013 is when they took my brand new car. And you know, I was losing my apartment. I was walking down behind the apartments to the woods and talking to the Lord and everything. And so this is at that time. So it was like I was in the pit all by myself. You know, family had abandoned me because they thought I went crazy. But anyway, Psalm 81. I removed the burden from your shoulders. In your distress you called, and I rescued you. Open your mouth, and I will fill it. Psalm 82. Listen to this rooster. I'm going to have to go punch him in the face, man. This rooster is ridiculous. You hear him? He's right in front of my office door. He haunts me. He follows me around through the house. I'm not kidding. Anyway, Psalm 82. Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Now, see, at that time, I haven't had the call of the pastors yet. I only had the call of the elderly. At this time is when God called me to go pray for people on their deathbed. So that was the only thing I was doing at this time. So this was really speaking to me about taking care of the poor and the oppressed. And I was doing the nursing home ministry, prison ministry, and homeless ministry. Because even though I was without a job, doesn't mean I was not busy. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And I tell people this to this day. I tell them this. When they come to me and they say, you know, I'm destitute, I don't have a job, I'm like, go do something. Go volunteer. Give yourself away. You know what I mean? Use this opportunity, man. Go help people like today. I got dressed up real pretty this morning because we believe our neighbor's dying. You know, the one that we've been ministering to that's in his 90s. He's at the hospital. It's about 30 minutes away. So when I get done with you guys, we're going to go visit. So I'm dressed up really pretty to do a hospital visit. And I'm praying that the Lord will let me do my anointing with him, praying with him on his deathbed. That is one of the anointings, one of the giftings that God has given me. And I pray I have that honor. I mean, we'll see. But anyway. Okay, Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, see, back then, I had no idea about the White House. I had no idea about my global ministry. No idea. But God is already dealing with me about it. Even back then, right there in that scripture. Because y'all know now, I battle this thing that is the Noahide laws. You know, this thing that's going to kill the church. This spirit. It is an antichrist spirit, but what I mean is, excuse me. What I mean is through the media, God has given me authority, because I can't do anything without his authority or his grace. You know, that is an everlasting fact. Or he just knocked me over. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But because God has given me this authority, there's a couple of things that I address in the spirit. One is the LGBT. I have battled that thing since I began. And even when I was in D.C., you know, that huge demon I came up against over the U.S. Capitol. Remember I told y'all that story? Good Lord. Let me get a drink here. Remember, God made me the captain over the U.S. Capitol when I first got there, and I was the captain for 3 months. which means God gave me the mantle of the government, you know, to have that authority to pray over those principalities and powers. So one of those things that reared up during those 3 months was that ugly LGBT spirit. And I saw it one day, and it was over the U.S. Capitol. And that sucker was ugly as all get out. I mean, it was like, the only way I can describe it is like Jabba the Hutt. This big, fat, ugly, green, huge, monster-looking thing that was on top of the U.S. Capitol and had a tongue that was humongous that rolled out of its mouth and rolled all the way straight across the street over to the Supreme Court. And that spirit was breathing real heavy, like, and it was spewing this vomit out of it and flowing into the Supreme Court. And that's what I saw in the spirit. So what I know, since I've been there now, what I know is that the U.S. Capitol passes these perverted, foul bills, which then gets backed up by the Supreme Court. And the thing is what the United States does affects the entire world. Okay. So that's what I mean by battling the LGBT spirit. but the other one is this Noahide laws deal. Hold on just a moment. I know it, sister. I don't know what that is. I see that y'all keep getting kicked out of the room. If y'all would just keep trying, because I enjoy having you in there. Thank you. Our friends from Canada, they keep calling in, but it keeps booting them, and I don't know why it's doing that. But anyway, going back to the other big one that I battle is that Antichrist spirit, the Noahide laws deal, which is why I believe God put me in the path of Yana to show me, you know, what this thing is and their strategy to come after the bride. And so, you know, God has revealed much to me since 2020 about that spirit. Now, but God, all the way back in 2013, was already dealing with me about the second covenant. And not until the past 2 or 3 years has he really opened my eyes to what that really means. Because this is why we're going to be healed. And this is Galatians 3:9 is another example of that. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. See, they believe, the Jews that say they're Jews and are not, that they are the chosen ones and the only ones that have access to Abraham. That's why they do the Abraham Accords. Because everything falls back to Abraham. But see, Abraham is the father of faith. So you can only get that blessing through faith. Okay? Jesus opened up that faith. And so anyways, God was dealing with me all the way back here in 2013 about that promise. And we're going to talk about that promise this morning. Because if you're a Christian and you have accepted your salvation, which means you accepted that second covenant and what it really means, that he died on the cross for you, that he gave us access to God. We no longer have to sacrifice. We no longer have to have a priest in between us. The veil is gone. So if you believe that, then you're in the kingdom of heaven. If you're in the kingdom of heaven, then now you are an heir. Why? Because now you are adopted. You're grafted in. you are adopted into the vine, which means now you're equal with the Jews. Everybody. There is no Jew or Greek anymore. There is no red, yellow, black, and white, nothing. Everyone is equal. Now, Galatians, okay, verse 18. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Remember yesterday, on this call, we talked about the promise. We talked about law, flesh, versus grace, Jesus, and the promise. The faith, which was Isaac, the promise, and the flesh was Ishmael, the firstborn. First covenant, second covenant. Y'all get it now? Genesis 12, the Abraham blessings. Now in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, which is what faith, believing is faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 4, to the one that works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. Salvation is not by works. Law is the works. You understand? So saying that you have rights to Abraham blessings just because of the law is incorrect. It is by faith. By faith, things is, you see. Now we're going to review Abraham's promise this morning. Genesis chapter 12. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. See, the Jews, they say they're Jews and they're not, try to say that this scripture, because of Abraham's promise, means it's Jews only. See, this is where they say, oh, if you turn against Israel, then you're turning against God. No. Israel is a people. The children of Israel. We're a people. So when it says that I will bless those that bless you and curse those I will curse, that is us. That's everyone that accepts the promise. Do y'all hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church this morning? Everyone that accepts Jesus has access to God and has access to the Abraham deal. Hold on just a moment. Okay. All people on earth will be blessed through you. See, they believe. Now we're talking about the Noahide laws people. They believe that the whole earth is resting upon them, that everybody will be blessed because of them. That's why they believe that everybody will have to fall under the Noahide law so that they can get to a heaven that they have to approve of. Do y'all understand? But it's not true. It's to all Christians. Okay. I will give your offspring land. Everybody lift your hands right now. Say in the name of Jesus. I receive this Abrahamic blessing. I receive that you will make me a great nation. I receive that you will bless me and make my name great. Which, of course, we know in this tribulation period that we're living in, it may not be on this side of glory as far as making your name great. But we are a blessed people. We are blessed. Okay? Now, I am giving you land. Oh, wait a minute. Get me back up. Look to the north and south, east and west, and I will give it to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring. I am giving you land. Deuteronomy 28. And then at Genesis 13:17. If you obey, you will receive all the blessing. So obedience, remember I told you in my stories yesterday, obedience is your key to wealth. Obedience is your key to wealth. Now remember what I told you guys, that wealth is not money. It's not just riches. Wealth is so many things. It's favor, favor, favor. It's God's face that shines upon you, that opens doors that no man can shut. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of my womb will be blessed. My crops, my land, my cattle, my lambs, etc. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Meaning the devices that you need to work or minister, in other words, your car and vehicle will be blessed. This means by which you obtain your blessings. So I speak that over all my equipment and everything, that it will be a blessing. We are blessed going in and blessed going out. I say that all the time when I'm praying. Your enemies will be defeated before me. Come at me in one direction and they'll flee in seven. That is pretty cool, huh? Hold on a second. Dennis is trying to talk to me. Okay, he's home today because, you know, we're going to visit our neighbor in the hospital. God will bless our barns and everything that I put my hand to. He will bless me in the land he has given me. In other words, he will bless me where I'm at now. Don't y'all know this minister to me? With what I've been going through about this land, and my faith has really been attacked a lot lately, you know. And I told you guys this, especially off the air, off of the recording. So this has really encouraged me. Romans 4:5. However, to the one who does not work, but trust God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. In other words, if you trust in God, your faith will carry you. But in Noahidism, the righteousness is by works. A righteous Noahide. A righteous Noahide has to work their way. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. In 4:13, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise. Here we go. It wasn't through the law. that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Faith, faith, faith. Verse 16, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace. Now, this is all in Romans. And may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Everybody lift your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I am Abraham's offspring. I am under the Abraham promise. I am blessed coming in and blessed coming out. God is with me. He will protect us from our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 20. Yeah, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now, don't y'all know that smacked me pretty good this morning? Not waver, June. Don't waver. Don't waver. Come on, you can do this. He'll do it again. Okay. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Amen. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. See, there's the key. If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and that he is real and that you are saved because of him, that is the second covenant. That's the only living covenant. The other one is gone, null, and void. Why? Because Jesus fulfills it all. He fulfills it all. Everybody has access. The temple has now come within. The Holy Spirit is now our guide. He helps us to do what is right. He convicts us. He teaches us. He shows us our way. He helps us, you know. So our existence today in the second covenant is completely different than the existence of the first covenant. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. They didn't have the temple within. Hold just a moment. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so in verse 23, it says the words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. What the world? I'm going to be climbing that one.
Call from Lone Depot.
Okay. What the world? Okay, so he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised for our justification. 4, verse 17. The God who gives life to the dead, me, and calls into being things that were not. That's the key. In other words, call everything into being, even though you don't see it. That's part of the Abrahamic promise. You know, Lord, I thank you that you promised this to us, that it's not that we are dominionist, because a lot of people can take this that you're being dominionist because you're naming and claiming it. A lot of the principles are true, though. It says it right there in the Word. We just have to see, the deal is we have to have faith and we have to believe it. And that's the key to it. That's like when the Bible says, when two or more agree is one thing, when two or more as agree as touching anything, that prayer shall be answered. Oh, just a moment, guys. What the world? All right, very good. I think I turned it off. Okay, so Romans 4:19. Abraham staggered not in faith. He was strong in his faith, giving glory to God. You know, Kimberly told us the other day on the prayer call about, you know, how we need to just worship God when we don't understand, when we're standing and trying to believe him, because that's what it is me and Dennis, man, we're just wore out. We've been believing God 3.5 years, and, you know, the circumstances are just not pleasing. So it's really causing a distress. It's rubbing too raw type of deal. And so we just need to have faith. We need to really just worship God and praise him. But anyway, let's continue. Deuteronomy 28 blessings. He will establish me as his holy people. But there's one requirement. We have to obey him. Then people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant me abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, your livestock, your crops, and your ancestry. The Lord will open the heavens, storehouse of his bounty, to send rain in your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Well, that really got me this morning. Lord, I told you this year we want to be givers, givers, givers. You know, I'm tired of being a taker. I want to be a giver, giver, giver. I want to give, give, give. You know what I mean? Where was I at? Okay. The Lord will make me the head and not the tail. But we have to obey the Lord and always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn away from the commands. Do not look to the right or the left, follow other gods, or serve them. Okay, so let's see. Second Corinthians 6:1 says that we have not received the grace of God in vain. Grace empowers us to do what God wants us to do. We need more grace, Lord. That's what it is. When we're feeling wore out and we can't go another step, we've got to have more grace. We need more grace. Hebrews 12:28, grace to serve God. Jesus gives us grace and truth. John 1:7, it is a gift. It's not works. By grace, it's not earned. We are saved by grace. Acts 26:20, 2 Corinthians 7:1, Hebrews 12:15, Ephesians 2:11. God gives us the grace to do anything that he calls us to do. John 1:17, Hebrews 12:28, 1 Corinthians 15:10. We cannot do this without grace. Pastor was telling us the other day, this is my notes from back then, that another pastor thought he could do it all on his own and God removed his grace. And then he realized he couldn't do it. James 4:6-8, 10 and 12. He gives us more grace. John 1:17, Ephesians 2:1-10. Grace saved you and will carry you. Isn't that beautiful? Hebrews 12:1-2. Lay aside your weights that so easily beset you. 1 Corinthians 15:10. We cannot do it without grace. Samson messed up with his destiny, but in the end he repented and God used him. Ephesians 2:8. Faith connects us to grace. It is by his ability in our life. 1 Corinthians 15:10. If anything happens, it's all God. And I am what I am by the grace of God. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. See, this is what I was telling you guys about. You know, people that want to get themselves killed whenever they come to capture them. It's like, but how can God use anyone if all his people just want to be killed off and not suffer? I mean, how are people going to get saved that's in these places? If we can't let God use our temple for whatever he wants to use it for. And don't forget that even if you mess up and you end up doing stuff, God can use you over there too. Just like what I said with Samson. You know, he messed up with all them women, had to pay a price. But God still used him. And God can use us too. Grace will always be there. And when we repent, he's there to pick us up. But I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You can only do what you do by the grace of God. Grace equips and positions us. Isn't that beautiful? 2 Corinthians 9:8 and 8:9, his grace provides for you. Remember my story I told you guys the other day about when I married the Lord? and how I had battled him for 12 years because he said he wanted me all to himself, and I kept saying no because I had a sex addiction. Remember that? And I said, there's no way I can be without a man. There's no way I can be a single woman like that. Oh, no way, Jose. See, I didn't know at that time about grace. I didn't have the revelation of grace. You know, and so 12 years later and all my marriages failing later, when I surrendered to the Lord and I got baptized, he took all that filth. He washed that shame off. And he took that heaviness off of me and loaded me with grace. That's what carried me, was his grace. I ended up becoming the woman that he designed only because I trusted in his grace. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I would have never known if I wouldn't have said yes, if I'd have kept on being with men the way I wanted. Let's see. Okay. 1 Peter 4:10, we have the grace of God. Acts 4:33, grace is his strength, his ability, and his power in your life. The greater the enemy attacks you, the greater the grace. And I have learned that, like all these people out here that go through horrifying things. You know, you hear about these people that get kidnapped and they're put in these coffins and put under beds for days on end. You know, you think, how in the world can people go through this stuff? I mean, the suffering, you know, the children that are captured in these cages, and women that are living in such horrible abuse, people that have, you know, kids with severe disabilities. I mean, I used to drive a school bus in Nashville, Tennessee, that was a special ed bus, and it would hold 13 wheelchairs. And I used to pick up wheelchair kids, and I saw many children that were severely handicapped. I mean, completely paralyzed, where they would just, they, you know, had things attached to them. They got on the bus in a wheelchair that looked like a hospital bed, basically. And these kids just scream where they're in pain. And they do horrible things, you know, in their sickness. Of course, God, you know, gave me grace to drive the bus with children that had many issues that they all were dealing with. But I would have to say the saddest one that I used to pick up was this little boy that had half his head smashed in. That was the saddest one. When I first started being a substitute driver, I went with this driver on this route. And this kid come out to the bus and half his head was gone. And I was like, what the world? And she goes, yeah. She goes, you want to hear a sad story? I said, yeah. She said, when he was a baby, his dad got drunk and smacked his head against a wall, smashed his head. Went to prison, and now he's back living with the mom and has to see what he did to that kid every day. But that kid lived. It's just a shell. He's a shell. Another sad thing I saw about, you know, this is just a little side trail, about driving special needs bus, there were some things about society that was very sad. Number one, I used to tell people that I see the reality of life. When you drive the children that are this way and not of their own fault, but they have so many deformities and stuff, diseases and things like that, and how society treats them. You know, they just throw them away. They dismiss them. They don't want to see the suffering. This is why when I tell people today that President Trump does not like them, he does not want to help the poor or help the needy like this. They want to throw them away like a pile of trash. And that's what I saw when I was driving that bus. You know, because I drove a bus for 13 years. I didn't always drive special needs. I only did that when I was in Nashville. But when I was working with other systems, I drove regular school buses. But, you know, and plus all the ministry I've done in nursing homes where I've seen people like that in nursing homes and young people living in nursing homes. Uh-oh, this is my neighbor with her husband. Let me see what she says. We love you too, sister, period. Are you guys still in Lexington, question mark? Dennis and I would like to travel and visit you guys today and bring you some food, period. Will you please let me know what restaurant you want us to go to and what you would like to eat, question mark? And is there anything else that you need that we can bring from the house? Question mark, we will stop and feed your cat again. I'm trying to help her because somebody told her that she would have to pay $300 a day for her husband to be on hospice. I'm like, no, ma'am. I am the hospice queen. I did that. That's how I started my ministry. No. So I went and found out the truth, and I sent it to her. I said, I don't know who this is telling you that. And then I set her straight, and she really thanked me for it. You know, because I hate the way people are doing the elderly. Oh, it's so sad. But anyway. Okay, where was I at? We always bring her food whenever we go to the hospital because, you know, she just sits in there with her husband and the hospital's nice enough to give her a little bed, you know. Let's see here. What was I saying? Okay. So I was saying I was telling you a story about something. What was it? Somebody text me. What was the story I was telling you? Driving the bus. Okay, thank you, sis. Okay, I know what it was. So I was telling you about the kid that had the smashed up head, but his father looked so ashamed every day he'd bring him down the bus stop. But I was always nice to his father because I'm not his judge. I mean, the man went to prison. He did his time. He probably did something stupid, not making excuses. But he obviously knows he did wrong because now he's taking care of him, you know. But anyway, another thing that I saw was sad was, okay, in Nashville, we have a lot of hospitals. And the ritzy hospital is Vanderbilt University. Well, Vanderbilt and this school that I drove for basically was the school for the blind. It was like a disability thing. and it was in downtown Nashville. So Vanderbilt sponsored this school for Christmas every year. And so they would give all the kids very nice gifts. And so there's this one kid on the bus. Now, he was paralyzed from the neck down. It was a black boy. He was a teenager. But he had the best personality. You know, he was one of them that still had his brain probably 50%, you know, to where he could carry on somewhat of a conversation with you. And, you know, but he would kind of slobber. He just had a little deal with his mouth. But anyway, but he was so funny. Oh, he would just make us laugh. Well, he got the coolest, stylest clothes before Christmas. You know, got these really cool, really nice, expensive, like $200 tennis shoes and these stylish shirts and stuff. I couldn't wait for him to come back after the new year with these new clothes on. So I roll up to his house, you know, in January, and lo and behold, his teenage sister pushes him out to the bus stop with all his new clothes on and him in his old rags. Oh, I was so mad. It wasn't even funny. I was like, if that's not the saddest thing, you know, it was just stuff like that. Just anyway, I am thankful, though, that I had that opportunity to drive the special needs bus, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with all the people in the nursing homes, because there was this one nursing home we was in and had this young girl. She was like in her 30s, and she was paralyzed from her neck down, and she had a feeding tube in, and so she never talked. And she was one of them that laid flat on her back, okay? So, but one day, we started singing this song. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Man, when we sang that song, that girl would just come unglued. Yes, she would. Her spirit man would just rear up in her, boy, and she'd be like, ah, rah, rah, you know. She was trying her best, boy. She was screaming as loud as she could trying to sing that. That was her favorite song. So every time we went to that nursing home, when we saw her there, y'all know we had to sing I'll Fly Away to that girl. It's so funny how the human spirit is, because when I was with that elderly woman in North Dakota, she's the one that I told y'all I'd had to mention the story about the man that didn't like me because of my body, her husband. But I would sit with her because North Dakota weather is ridiculous. I would never, ever want to live in North Dakota. Never, ever, ever want to live in North Dakota because they have snow. Because we have snow, but it's gone in a couple of days. You know what I mean? We get to enjoy it and it's out of here. No, not in North Dakota. They have this snow that comes. And then it never leaves. And then, so it'd be like 6 inches high. Then you'll have another snow, and another snow, and another snow. And it'll come all the way up to the house, man. It's like you can't even, you got to have the snow plows and everything just to get out. It's like, who in the world would live like this? But anyway, so I would sit there with her on her couch, and when I would sing, oh, man, that little girl and her would rise up, and she would become lucid for them songs, man. Oh, no, now she's at Jacksonville Hospital. What a farce. I mean, Jackson. Oh, Oh, there's another girl. It kept bouncing her out of the room, too, Ardina. How terrible. So sorry, sis. It was doing the same thing to those people in Canada. I am so sorry. I don't know why it's doing that, but I am recording it. All right. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's happening. We just rebuked the devil this morning in Jesus' name, kicking all you guys out. But anyway, I done forgot that story I was telling you. Okay. Well, let's just move on. I can't. Okay, 2 Peter 3:18, you are nothing and he is everything. That is a fact. Okay, well, that's all I have. Praise God. So the encouraging word this morning is about the Abraham promise, to know that you have a promise and that you are an heir to the king. You know, we are children of the Most High God, and we are equal with everyone else in the kingdom. And because we're in the kingdom, we have extra rights in this kingdom. And we have promises given to us in this kingdom. Remember what I said, when you get saved, your roots go down into this kingdom. And now you're feeding off this kingdom, your tree. The rivers of living water. And see, the because your tree is connected to the heavenly realm, okay, and this rivers of living water is coming up, that's why we have to keep our pipes clean, so that that water can continue to flow, because we'll end up drying up. And it, believe me, it takes nothing for your tree to dry up. All it takes is a few situations of disappointment, a few situations of getting angry, of disappointments, of your faith being tested to where you just can't take it no more. I mean, it can take very little to clog up your pipes. You know what I mean? We need our pipes clean so we can have the rivers flowing and we can bear fruit from another kingdom that helps the people out here in the world, the kingdom of this world, with a heavenly fruit. Just like that dream I showed you where we kept throwing all them people the fruit. Because they need that fruit in order to have relief in the suffering and in the identity of this world. Just remember this. When you have kids, loved ones, family members that are all caught up by the enemy's devices, okay, it's because they're believing a lie. Just remember that. Your family members are believing a lie, okay? When people are lying and deceiving and choosing to not follow God, it's because there's a lie there that they are believing. So when you pray, pray, I rebuke every lie that they're believing. I pray, Lord, you expose that thing, that you let the truth come through, that these people can see the truth of who you really are. The devil is a liar, you know. So let me pray for all you guys, and then we'll get off here. And if you don't mind, guys, I am going to have to cut it short today, and then I will see you on Sunday for church. Lord, I just thank you so much for our time together today. I thank you, Lord, for the Abraham promise, that we do have that to hold on to, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised today. I pray over every home. I pray against hopelessness. I pray you increase their faith, same as here. Help us all, Lord, to stand strong. Fill us with more grace today. That's the word over us. Everybody lift your hands, say, in the name of Jesus, I receive more grace today. And I thank you, Lord, for calling me. for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, I love you, and I will talk to you later. God bless.